Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Black and a Half.
Yes, we are back.
That was my wrestling.
I know, that was like a Triple H.
You know, remember the announcer?
Yeah, yeah.
Do they still use him?
Are you talking about Earl Hebner? No, not Earl Hebner. That was a referee.
That announcer who would bring everybody in.
Yeah, they used to do, they had a girl, her name was Lillian Garcia, she was doing it for a while. Yeah, yeah. But there was a guy who used to, you know, weighing in at 235 pounds.
Yeah.
And Shawn Michaels.
I always started that way because I'm thinking about my titles that I lost still.
Yeah, you'll hear about
my,
that.
Yeah,
on the
we talk about my the loss of my wrestling career, video game, on this podcast. This is a great episode.
It was amazing.
Welcome to Black and a Half,
yes,
first of all.
Thank you for tuning
in. Silas Lindenstein.
Manny Martin.
Yeah, we co-host this each and every week. We
yes.
bring to you some of the finest, most interesting people
yeah.
in Seattle. This week, we have. Zach Gandara.
Yes.
Or Zach Gandra.
Yeah.
Depends how you want to pronounce it. Whether
exactly.
you want to pronounce it correctly
yep.
or incorrectly.
Or you want to be an ass. Yeah.
Yeah. But Zach Gandra from the Losing Our Religion podcast.
Oh,
it's,
yes.
It's recorded here in Seattle.
Yes.
It's out of Seattle. It's a very popular podcast. I was a guest a long time ago of that.
Yeah. Make sure you check out that episode, too.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
To dig for that. But no, just check out it's a great podcast. You talk about how he went from being a high end pastor.
Yep.
Pastor, right?
Yeah, yeah, pastor to just a normal individual like
no,
us. But
from pastor to pub.
Yeah, to
server.
A pub server, man. It's a great story.
I felt like there'd be a good word. I just couldn't think.
Yeah, you were thinking of something that like
from
yeah.
pastor to bartender.
There you go.
And everywhere in between. Talking about his story is a great life story. His origin story on how that all happened.
Yep.
That takes up a good chunk of this episode.
Yeah.
We do talk about people blocking me on Facebook again.
Yep.
It's wonderful. me being a capitalist and
yep.
getting blocked
every couple of weeks. It's somebody else.
I make friends.
Yeah, you really do.
I make
do.
A lot of friends. This episode is brought to you by Faith.
Yep.
Faith is our sponsor for this episode. How to lose faith in under 20
years.
That's, I don't know. You'll get that.
Yeah,
more
yeah. It'll make sense oh, when you tune.
I don't know. Should we keep doing episodes?
Yeah, of course.
We're going to keep doing this. We're going to blow up.
We're going to blow up. We are.
We have some video ideas that we're
yeah.
going to be shooting, you know, like eventually. And here's how you make it possible. We have some funny content
we
want to produce. But we need you to share this podcast.
Yes.
With your loved ones, your friends.
Exactly.
And
thank you to the new subscribers. We appreciate
you.
You.
We love you. We love you every time.
Thanks
see,
for the people who are still
the
listening.
The numbers ticking up. Yeah.
yeah.
The fans. The Stephen Wards.
No, oh, we love you,
the
Stephen.
The Scott Wards. The,
yeah.
Love that Ward family.
The Amani
they
Taylors
listen.
Of the world.
They replied. Does he listen?
Amani listens, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
nice.
So.
Shout out to Amani
yeah,
Taylor.
Yeah, man.
Book me.
Yeah.
book me on your show. Want to advertise the date. April 19th at the Comedy Underground. I'll be performing on this, like, I don't know, Dragons and Wizards show.
Oh, there
it's,
you go.
It's a funny multimedia show. And
that'd be cool.
It's not, I'm not headlining. I'm just going to be there.
Nah, I'm probably still the
I
show.
I printed some flyers and
there you go.
I'm going to hand them out
like a good
shops.
Person would do if you're on a show. Like actually helping
actually
to promote.
Help. Oh.
Yeah, not know, just showing up.
Put minimal effort in.
Yeah.
And then go, how come I didn't get paid? Because nobody knows who you are. You're barely funny. I put you on here. Because
right.
maybe one day you'll book a show.
Exactly.
But not for any other reason.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about you, sir. You're genuinely good.
Yeah. You listening? Yeah, you're good.
You're good.
Yeah.
And I support you. Oh, my God. I'm looking out the window. A tow truck driver just took a car.
Oh, that's the
I'm
worst.
Like, what a jerk. I don't know where they were parked, but unless they were blocking, like,
you just
children
hope.
In the hospital
yeah.
from getting out or getting in.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
You hope that they just were, like, broken down on the side of the road, but they probably
okay, that's another
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
They were just broken down.
Yeah, stop
that's,
being
yeah,
glass
something
half empty.
Good. Something so, good. Like, they
yeah.
were broken down. Yeah. oh, good. Big thanks to thank
Skyline.
Our sponsor, Skyline Properties. We use their record at their office. So check out SilasGetsReal.com. If you or anyone you know is looking to buy or sell a home, check them out. Check that site out, because then I'll work with you.
Yes.
And then I'll show you. You'll have the funniest home tour guide you'll ever get.
Exactly.
You ain't going to get that from the other guy.
That's right.
You know what I'm talking about? The one with the big red box. No, you know? You're not, whoa. Wait, no, not my ex. Anyway.
Stupid.
Oh, I'm stupid. I'm a horrible
I love it, though.
Person.
That's all good.
All right. But, yeah, it was a great episode.
Great episode, yeah. You're going to love it.
Do you think they'll believe us? Like, we always say great episodes.
No, this is really one of those. This is probably, I kid you not, probably top three.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we're going to have to go. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have to bump some people.
I know.
We're going to need to let them know.
Yeah.
Hey, remember when you were top three?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not anymore.
Yeah, you're down. Sorry. Yeah. You fell into 5-6.
But one day we'll do an episode and we'll tell you this is mediocre.
Yeah.
So then you'll know. You'll know that we don't always think every episode.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Episode 25.
Yes.
Zach Gandra.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because it hits that level of that.
Very cool.
That's white noise in the back.
Racist.
What's some damn right? White noise going on back there?
Do you think that's what slaves used to say?
Probably. The, all that white noise in the back.
The white noise is one of us to pick this.
So dumb.
Okay. So
you had a story to tell me. That was very.
I lost the tag titles, my NXT tag titles.
This is on WWE 2K17.
Okay. Oh, you had to ruin it.
Oh,
you didn't know. You might have thought I was a. You know, he could have thought I was a wrestler.
That's very true. Yeah, very
now,
true.
Now he knows that I was just a mock.
Never mind.
I was saddened by.
Maybe
it.
You are in WWE. Then it's 2K17.
Oh,
no? Maybe not.
Okay, so I bought this. Let listeners know.
Okay.
I bought this some Nintendo Switches.
Nice.
To try to sell.
Oh yeah.
Make a little money.
I saw that on your Facebook. I saw that you were selling one. Yeah.
So I got blocked by somebody
on Facebook. Oh, seriously?
Insane.
Because they said I was a trash person for trying to make $100 off of it. By the way, I put it up for $400.
Yeah. Yeah.
They sell at $299
right.
plus tax, which
right.
is $330. So first off, $70.
Right. Yeah, all right. Exactly.
I'm just trying to make $70.
Right.
And then it was like a garbage person for like I was depriving people of this. Like someone pointed out, yeah, you're a horrible person for charging extra for a luxury item. You know what? But who blocks?
Hey, I don't know.
Like
supply and demand.
You gotta be careful in Seattle, man.
Does she
like,
know how mortgages
gonna, like...
work? Like, you know, like she's a renter. Does she know, like, do you know that they might actually be charging you more than
right.
they pay?
Yeah.
Do you know those clothes that you bought?
It's, yeah.
Target
for cars.
Didn't buy them
mm-hmm.
that much. Yeah.
I sold used cars one time, and there was a sticker on the window.
Yeah.
And there was a code.
Mm-hmm.
Well, only the sales guys knew the code.
Yeah.
And the code would tell us what the dealership would take bare minimum for that car.
Oh, wow.
So we could quote whatever we wanted above that price.
Right.
And every grand we got above their bottom line price, we got a $100 bonus.
What?
So it was like...
What a trash human.
Dude, piece of shit, capitalist, god damn it.
Making money.
I will say this. Here is the trash human part. There was a guy when I was there. This
right.
was when I was in college.
Yeah.
I did 1 year of selling cars because I have carsman salesmanship in my family background.
Right.
So this one dude, this little old grandma comes in for a car mm-hmm. and there's this like... teal blue Geo Metro two-door convertible, which
right.
we all know is a piece of shit car.
Right.
Yeah.
And it probably costs $1.95 to manufacture, which you buy it for $5. He sold this woman this used Geo Metro two-door convertible for like $17,000.
Wow.
And just took the whole rest of the year off almost. Or
damn.
Took like a couple months off because he made so much money on
that is crazy.
That's a piece of shit.
Yeah. That's
you asking
awful.
For $100 over
right.
the asking price
yeah.
is just trying to feed your kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
like one dinner for them.
Okay. And I'm asking the seller for $400. She says, and you if you can float an extra $400, then you can't. Then you don't need it. And I'm like, well, I'm only floating $300.
Yeah.
And obviously, I need it because I'm selling. Right. That's what I'm doing. I mean, I felt there's part of me that felt a little bad because I'm like, well, so I'm an agent now. Like, I'm doing real estate, so maybe she thinks I'm just rolling in it and just making extra.
People have that misconception.
Dude, I have two kids.
Right.
Yeah. I always need money. Yep.
People think that, you know, just because I work at the bank that I'm like, you know, sitting on piles of cash all day.
You're like, I work at the bank. I don't rob the bank.
Yeah, exactly. Right. People seem to think that, you know, you have like the nice car. And it's like, no, I'm probably making a lot less than you. And, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
But then I had it for sale like on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, I hate that place.
I've never used it before.
It's horrible.
I think so.
It's like the bottom rung of society for selling.
I put
shit.
It for $400. Yeah. Someone messages me and says, some other people selling it for $350. Like, I said, okay.
So yeah.
Just saying. Thought you should know. Like, what's that have to do with me? I'm selling for $400. Yeah. Like, good for them.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
It's nuts. Like, we had a similar situation where we were selling an air conditioning unit.
Yeah.
And this little Asian guy shows up at our house, and he's like, hey, I saw it online for, like, you know, $200. And I was like, oh, well, the asking price is $400, you know.
Right, right.
And he was like, well, I'm just saying that, you know. I'm like, well, you can go get that one.
Right, totally. Please go get it.
Yeah, like, seriously, save yourself.
Was Asian important to that story?
It was, because I used to work for Koreans. And, yes, they they definitely know how to.
It's a cultural barter.
It is. It really is. It's like they want a lot of, like, even my clients, they want something for free. You know what I mean? Like, it's. I love Asian people, though. By the way, if you're listening,
throw that out there. The podcast is called Black and a Half.
It's his favorite porn.
We invited a half Mexican guy here today, so that it would be Black and a half a beaner. But we were having a Korean conversation earlier.
We were,
and I was like, I love Koreans. Please, I'm just.
Oh, man.
Zach Andra is with us. Zach Andra from the Losing Our Religion.
Losing Our Religion podcast.
Yeah, yes. Which I was a guest on.
You were, and it was fantastic.
That was a great episode. We talked about my Rastafarian mother.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And my Star Wars religious beliefs.
There you go.
The people say, oh, you're not religious? Well, I'm Star Wars.
Right.
It's not just action figures. It's a code of ethics.
Everyone's got a story around religion.
Yeah.
Somehow,
mostly
bad, but also like, hey, well, I learned this, and then this is how I've morphed it for my life or whatever, you know? It's like, everyone's got a story. But I think it's funny because I get tagged now, like, because I get hated from pastors or religious people from time to time, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But it's funny because, like, Mark Maron, you listen to Mark Maron, it's like the WTF podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, at the beginning, he was just kind of going off, doing Mark Maron going off. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? You know, whatever. So it's called What the Fuck. Well, now he just talks to people.
Mm-hmm.
So my podcast started called Losing Our Religion, and now I just talk to people.
Exactly.
Like, it's cocktail conversations. Religion probably comes into it.
Right.
Sexuality comes into it. Racism comes into it. Whatever affects our lives is what comes into the show.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what made you start the podcast?
A deep hatred for religion. Actually,
let's go back. Let's see your origin story.
Okay, here. Origin story. I was a youth pastor at a local mega church for a long time.
Okay.
So I actually grew up Catholic. I'll try to go short. Grew up Catholic, Pentecostal Catholic-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Because my family was Oklahoma, so there's definitely these Pentecostal like warehouse church roots of people falling on the floor and crying and stuff like that. And then we moved to Seattle. We ended up, like, my parents' background was Catholicism. My grandmother came up to visit one time and was really irritated that they weren't going to a Catholic church. So then we started going to Catholic church.
Right.
That's when I went into Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
But all the time, my dad was, like, a big financial giver to, like, TBN and the Christian channels and, like, Benny Hinn.
Wow.
Right? Like, the healing evangelist guy, now known on the internet as the he uses the force to knock people down. You've seen the Star Wars. Like. but yeah, so he's a big supporter of that. I got injured in a football game when I was 17. A kid speared me with his helmet in the kidney, and I woke up the next morning peeing blood. It was against Rainier Beach. Fuck those guys.
Yeah, man.
No, I'm just kidding.
I got dunked on by somebody from Rainier Beach, and I was fuck these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Was it in, like, in. You think it was accidental or was it an intentional?
I don't know. I can't really say. Yeah. But
You always feel like when you have an injury, it always feels like it's on purpose.
It always feels like it's on. It was at a pointless time of a game where it didn't need to happen, and there was a penalty after it for it. So it was like, you just don't know. But I'm not going to be bitter at the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that instance in a good way changed my life. So went to the doctor the next day. They found other kidney problems at the time. And they were like, I think it was my junior going into senior year, and I was like, baseball was my life at the time, and I wanted to be a professional baseball player. And the surgeons wanted to do a couple surgeries just to figure out what it was, because they didn't have the technology at the time to like just look inside. My dad is like, we're going to go to Florida. You're going to go see this Benny Hinn guy. So my parents flew me to Florida to go to this healing evangelist.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, wait.
Yeah.
Benny Hinn. Is that a doctor?
No. Dr. Hinn.
Is that a salesman?
That's what I told all my friends in high school. They're like, why are you going to Florida? There's a really good kidney doctor in Florida who's supposed to be able to fix this really fast.
But this was like a healing pastor?
Yeah, it was like a... yeah, like a healing evangelist, pastor, supposed, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if any genuine healings had happened in his thing. I can't, like, say for whatever. I am a bit of a mystic, so I think there are unexplained things that happen all the time.
Uh-huh. Right.
I think we as humans label them as a number of different things. Christians label them as Christ, and somebody else labels them as the universe and whatever.
Right.
Weird shit happens, and we don't know how to explain it. That's my two cents. So my parents take me to this place. Have you heard this before?
I haven't.
They have not.
Okay. I just don't know if you and I talked about this on my podcast when we talked. But
you know,
either way,
here's
whatever.
The thing. You also gave me alcohol during the show.
I did. So it's hard to. I did. Like, yeah, and I didn't realize, like, you're not a big drinker, no?
I was, and then I.
Then he stopped.
I didn't stop because I had a liver problem.
Gotcha.
And then I was actually just starting dabbling again.
Okay.
And at yours, and so. Things are hitting me a little
Yeah,
hard.
You'll have to tell them about the chocolate beer.
So you're kind of like Frank from Shameless, like, well, you got a liver transplant.
Well, now, I mean, you're talking
now
about
you're dabbling.
You're talking about a kidney problem, and I'm like, well, if I drink, I snore.
I do too.
Yeah,
I know, so I'm like, I can't sleep. I'm like, it's horrible.
I gotcha. But,
it's okay, so, yeah, Benny Hinn.
Benny Hinn.
So yeah, go to Benny Hinn. I'm just sitting there. I'm like a high school kid. It was touching because the Christ narrative from me growing up. Like,
yeah, yeah.
A guy named, who a lot of listeners may know, a guy named Donnie McClurkin, like famous gospel singer, sang this song by Keith Green, who was a hippie Jesus guy back in the day.
You're right.
And I'm crying. And this lady just turns around, apparently an elder in Benny Hinn's church, and goes, son, do you believe you're healed? And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
And next thing I know, she grabs me, throws me on stage.
And this is just out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Wow.
And then there's a doctor that sees me right before I go on. And he just kind of goes, oh, yeah, he's totally healed. Look at him. He looks great.
Wow.
So they throw me on stage. And genuinely, I had a moment with God or the universe or whatever. You know, I don't like labeling it now. But I had a moment there that was touching and good and helpful to my life. I came home and stopped smoking weed and trying to get chicks and, you know, and drinking a lot. And now I'm back to drinking a lot and I have one chick. But full circle, guys. This is the way to do it. But came back and my dad kind of approached me just kind of in his dadly way. Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to trust God or do you want to go back to the doctor? And I'm like, you know, not that those two things couldn't be, are not mutually exclusive. Like, you could do both. But I'm, you know, a 17-year-old kid going into a hopeful baseball career. I don't want to lose my senior year of baseball getting surgeries done. So I'm like, let's not go back to the doctor. I'm going to trust God.
Right.
So to shorten the story, 15 years later, I'm now involved in a church that, well, a lot like Benny Hinn, but not so flashy in the weirdness factor.
Oh, okay, okay.
Or the divine healing factor.
So this is the church you're at now?
No, I'm not there anymore.
Oh, not there
I'm
anymore.
Not at any church.
Oh,
I'm,
okay,
I'm at the Church of Humanity now.
Okay.
And I have church everywhere with people like you that I just like. I feel like church to me is having conversations with individuals. That's the one thing about rideshare, that because I drive rideshare to help pay the rent.
Right.
Or to pay the rent, excuse me, is talking with people.
Seriously.
Like, I freaking love talking with people, hearing their stories. And if I could do that all day, I would be happy.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. Like, I was raised in Catholic school and all that. And then, you know, it's weird. Like, you see some of the mega churches and you're just like, this guy has a jet, but yet all of his like people are, you know, poor and broke, but they're like funding this. But I do believe it's like, my mom always told me, you know, don't force your religion on anybody. She was like,
good,
you know, just have conversations with people, and if it comes up and you inspire them, be that light, you know. Yeah, but it's beautiful. I don't know, it really is. It's like, I feel like sometimes Christians, Catholics, they kind of close themselves off from the rest of the world, and it's, dude, it's so cool that you, you know. Yeah,
We can go into that existentialism later. Yeah. Like, I don't know what I believe now.
Yeah,
it's actually probably funny. We probably should go into it.
Yeah.
But I came back, you know, came back, did all that, got involved in the church, worked there for a number of years, got ordained, the whole deal. And then I think I was 29. So I'm 39 now, so 10 years ago-ish, if my wife listens to this, or when my wife listens to this, she's like, you never get timelines right. Well, you know, I'm a dude. So this happened at one point in my life, guys. The only timeline I'm sure of is that I had a kidney transplant 8 years ago.
Right.
Because this November, election day, is when the first Obama election was the day I had my kidney transplant.
Really?
Okay. So I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
It was like, that was a good day.
Yeah.
So I start having weird symptoms. I can't sleep at night. I start putting on water weight, which I thought was just weight at the time.
Yeah.
Was scared to go back to the doctor because the faith thing.
Yeah.
It was like, you have faith, so you don't need to go back to the doctor. And then the kind of world of megachurch I was in was the prosperity gospel.
Right.
And you have faith, and so faith brings you money and brings you things and brings you healing and brings you stuff. And it's very much American consumerism at its worst.
Right.
Using spiritual powers to draw these things to yourself. It's like The Secret with other bullshit on top of it.
But weren't you a big pastor?
Yeah, like I was, well, I was a pastor. Right? Yeah, I mean, my salary at the church was $75,000 a year, and then I would travel. I would travel the country speaking at churches. So after honorariums and stuff, I was well over six figures.
Wow.
Honorariums.
Yeah, not or gifts.
Yeah,
that's not a fee, right?
No, these weren't gigs. These were spiritual experiences.
So you don't even have to pay that really on taxes, or how does that?
So the tax thing is really interesting. Yeah. So honorariums will fuck you, like, because there's some weird tax stuff that goes along with that,
right?
But in general, your salary as a pastor all gets thrown under pastorate.
Right.
So my clothes, my toilet paper,
mm-hmm.
you know, because in the old days, the church would have a church.
Right.
And then the church would have a house that the pastor lived in.
Right.
The parsonage, you know, and they would just pay everything he needed to live.
Yeah.
So the tax model kind of follows that still.
Mm-hmm.
And so your house payment, everything can be wrapped up in this thing called parsonage that then becomes untaxable income.
Oh, okay.
The honorariums didn't work that way. My tax accountant didn't know what to do with all that money.
Oh.
And so I ended up owing shit tons of money.
Damn.
Later, like thousands of dollars later. Ugh. Luckily, I got a good accountant that could go back 3 years, and he was able to fix 3 years.
That's cool.
Which was over $10,000. But I'm still paying today. I've been out of pastoring since 2011. I'm still paying some of that off to the government.
Damn.
Because I didn't know what I was. I didn't have a good accountant at the time.
Right.
Because honorariums they're weird. I can't even explain how they work. I just know that I'm paying up the butt for them still.
Man,
it's my only debt left.
Really? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, Silas looks like he wants to become
a right? Good deal. I was like, oh.
Well, the funny thing about America is business ownership is very similar.
Right.
You know, it is very similar. We won't go into that.
Well, I mean, I am ordained.
That is very true.
So we can start right
did
now.
Did you get an online one?
I did.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to do that, but I already, apparently once you're ordained, you're kind of always ordained.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
they can revoke you, right?
I don't know. They could, but would they?
But
have they? I don't know.
Well, if they listen to your podcast, they might.
I would think they would. I would revoke the shit out of me if I was them, because then I can go online and get like the Church of the Latter-day Dude or something.
You're right.
It's like,
I think you can, no, because you can, okay, because what happened was the original place I got ordained with, they had some tax problems. And so when I was looking it up, I went to get my certificate or something, and they were saying, look, you don't need to, you are ordained. But because of this tax problem they're having, the IRS might come. We recommend you reordain with this somebody else.
Interesting.
And so I went and reordained just to make sure. I was like, well, I've married a few people. You guys better.
How much does it cost?
Nothing.
Nothing's free.
Oh, that's
no,
right.
If you want to pay for whatever, like a plaque that says okay. that you can do that. But
gotcha.
Otherwise, they like, oh, you can just print off this thing.
Huh.
I paid $5 to get a card.
No, there you go.
So I have a like a MasterCard.
But. Licensing, I know, expires. Because my license from the church expired.
Right.
But ordination. License? I mean, so there's a difference between licensing and ordination.
Wait, where did you live when you did this?
Federway. Mm. That's where the hub of the big
okay,
church is.
But I there's at. No, you don't need a license to, you just need to be ordained to marry people.
No, there's,
in Washington State.
With a license, you can marry and bury people.
Oh, okay.
Well, I can't bury people. Well, I can say yeah. stuff.
You could have, so it, you could do funerals and weddings. You well, could do funerals and weddings, I think. Ordination, from where I came from,
mm-hmm.
was like, okay, you're legitimately a, I keep hitting the table. Yeah, sorry, guys. Right. I'll stop yeah. doing that. I have a fucking podcast. I should know.
That's why I gave you a mic.
This is why you need those suspension things, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, does that do it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, anyways. Please rack up my bill further.
I feel like I need to start contributing at some point.
Hey, man, as soon as you start charging me taxes for being your friend, friendship tax. I call it
right.
friendship
tax. Manny's here for his looks.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's the looks
for
of
all
his
of you people out there.
Podcast.
He's got a pretty damn good voice.
That's all right. Too. I don't know. It could be better.
It's right. very, very white.
It's hey, very, very white. That's right. There you go. Right there. So, yeah, I mean, what I remember, at least in my thing, was you could marry and bury people with a license. But ordination was like them saying, like, this is it. Like, you are in the ministry now. Like,
right.
We observe that you have the yeah. gifts of the ministry.
I don't have, I mean,
we
I looked it
you.
Up a lot because I was marrying a bunch of people.
Yeah.
There's no, once you're ordained, that's it.
That's oh. it.
Yeah, in Washington, you don't need a license.
Right.
Maybe for.
Licensing came before ordination. So, yeah, once you have an ordination, it's done.
Oh, okay.
So your online thing, just skip the licensing part.
Okay.
It's just
yeah,
because
I couldn't find anything. There's no fees to pay.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. yeah, you're just done.
All right.
So I kind of want to know how this thing concluded. So what okay. what took you away from the church? What made you quit?
Kidney failure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
Not actually the kidney failure,
yeah, yeah.
but, you know, I had, I don't know, 15 years later, essentially, when I was 29, I yeah. was diagnosed with renal failure.
Oh, okay.
And it was like going to the doctor, getting that diagnosis was a giant sign of relief for me. It was like, okay, now I can stop this lie
mm-hmm.
that I've been perpetuating in myself to shield myself from the fear of dealing with this.
Right.
Which is what it was for me. I can't say faith is like that for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's, you know, coming from where I come from, I think there's faith, which is a belief in something.
Right.
And then there's faith as a tool, which is what my kind of church background did.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, faith gets you stuff. And faith,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. So faith gets you healing. So I could stop using faith as a tool in mm-hmm. that moment, and it was like a solid sign of relief.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a week in the hospital on dialysis 8 hours a day for 6 days straight. Mm. They took out 65 pounds of liquid out of my bloodstream.
Oh.
And I went from like probably as fat as I am now. Mm-hmm. I'm like 225 now, and mm-hmm. I went to like 160,
no
something
shit.
Like that. Like it was crazy. It was like all of a sudden I was fat. I'm fat, and then now I'm skinny.
Damn.
And I went from a 36-inch waist to a 28-inch waist in a week.
Wow.
Not fat, just liquid out of my bloodstream.
Wow. What did your skin do?
Can
did
I it do that?
It shrunk up.
Really?
I mean, I guess at 29 I was young enough.
That's
I don't
true.
Think it would now, but at 29, like, there wasn't any
would.
Pouches.
I think when you hit
any.
That, like, 50 mark, it
yeah.
probably is a whole different story.
Then it's a whole but, the elasticity.
Yeah. yeah.
This is why it's important to moisturize, gentlemen.
Yeah. Oh, I'm always using lotion, man. Hey, I don't want to be ashy.
I've got I have better skin in certain places, I guess.
Yeah,
balls. Probably.
Yep,
pretty much. Your scrotum is extremely elastic.
I'm getting ashy. I'm getting more
Me
ashy
too.
The older I'm
getting.
I'm
noticing that too. Like I get dry.
Black people get ashy.
We do. Look at that. Yeah. I'm ashy, dude. I'm white. Whitish. Yeah. That's kind of ashy. Right?
A little bit. Yep.
My exactly. wife's always getting bit. On me, saying my elbows are ashy.
Yeah.
So.
What's weird? Sometimes I'll just like suddenly look at, like I'll not have pants on for some reason, and I look down, and I'm like. It used to be easier in, like, California.
Yeah.
Because it's hot. You wear shorts
You wear
a lot.
Shorts, so you always got to put lotion
so
on.
So then I, like, suddenly, like, the first hot day here,
dude.
I look down, I'm like, I'm shameful. I
yeah.
Put,
dude, I went to the gym. I went to the gym, and I kid you not, it looked like I had two pairs of socks on because, it like, my ankles were that white.
Yeah.
It looked like Huda Kente.
Nice.
Like, it was nuts. So
I feel welcome now.
Heck yeah,
I came
man.
To the Black and a Half podcast to prove that ashiness is not a black thing.
Yeah.
And neither is whiteness.
That's what I learned today.
Exactly.
Ashiness is not a black thing.
There's
That's
like
right.
almost an equal
Only
ratio, right? Because it's like, well, no, you're Hispanic, so I mean, I was going to say, because It's 1.5 black right. people, and I was going to say it's 1.5 white people. So it's the
there you go.
Complete,
that's right.
The full circle.
So we are. So your kidney was failing. And so
kidney
like,
kidney failed.
Forget religion.
So
or did you wait till after the surgery? At least?
So here's so I started dialysis right.
Mm-hmm.
2 years as a dialysis patient. Here's a beautiful factor. My friend Seth, when I first got diagnosed, he's the one who gave me his kidney.
Wow.
The week I got diagnosed and I'm in the hospital, him and his wife called my wife and I. He was a pastor then. He's still a pastor now.
Right.
My wife hands me the phone and I'm talking to him. He's like, "Look, I believe God told us that you're supposed to have my kidney."
Yeah.
And I wasn't cynical, but I said, you know, like they're telling me I'm going to at least be on dialysis for a year
because mm-hmm.
that's what they kind of want you to cope with the disease or cope with.
Right.
Kidney failure to learn how to live on dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to let me talk about transplant for a year. If it happens, that's fantastic.
Right.
If it doesn't, whatever. But long story short of that is that 2 years on dialysis, I actually started reading the Bible
mm-hmm.
as a pastor.
What?
Oh, so you didn't read it before, really?
No, I read it, I'd study for sermons, right?
Or right,
I'd prep stuff for sermons. I'd kind of take... I looked at the Bible as like a kitchen cabinet.
Right.
I'd take the syrup out and the flour, and I'd take this out, and this sugar would taste good with this, and that mm-hmm. would taste good with it. And I'm putting together this bit, essentially.
Right.
Right? But if anyone that's half intelligent knows that that's not how you read a book.
Right.
You can't jump into Harry Potter at book 4, chapter 7,
right.
line 6, and get any meaning of what's happening.
Point.
Well, I don't know. That's a good spot.
No, yeah.
That's not a bad spot.
That's a good spot to jump in the book. Right? So God is love. That verse is a good spot to jump in the book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Exactly.
Like jump in there and mm-hmm. then don't exit there.
Yeah.
Stay there.
Because you don't want to see the next
you
yeah,
don't want
to
see
the
rash.
So.
You don't want to see the man control and all this other stuff. So I took that 2 years, not on purpose. Just
mm-hmm.
I
just wanted to know.
I just had a desire to do it,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to study historical context of the writing of when it was written and what was going on at the times mm-hmm. at the same time, which is the only true way to gain meaning from a historical document
because
mm-hmm. it wasn't written now; it was written then,
right?
And essentially, in those 2 years, I read the Bible cover to cover twice. And what I learned and saw, and particularly in the life and teachings of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
were not my life.
Mm.
And Jesus didn't have 10 Harleys like my senior pastor did. And
right.
Wasn't wearing Prada and Gucci and all of
well,
this other
only because
stuff.
It wasn't invented.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I mean.
Like, don't you think Jesus would have been, like, dressing like.
He was killing
like
those Air
Puff
Jerusalem,
Daddy, right? Like, he would have been Puff Daddy, right? Like,
you know, it's so it always.
Scouts
it,
as apostles, right?
Right?
That's just his
That's
crew.
His crew, it is. It's
his
gang.
Entourage.
That's it.
The
That's
right.
The gang. Oh,
so true. Like, I kind of wonder, it's like, you know, you look at when he threw the. What was it? The people who were like selling stuff in the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of the temple or whatever.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, ew, I don't know. I just money can be such a gross thing. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Like, you know, we need it to survive.
Totally.
You know, but I feel like there's
no. We don't need it to survive.
Well,
we've chosen to live a life that you do that.
That's true.
There's
true.
People in Hawaii that decide to live off the land.
That's right.
There's
true.
There's whole communes that
you
decide.
You know what, Silas? Thank you. That was good.
That was well put.
But it's true.
But at the same time, I mean, you can't really just live on the U.S. soil and not be a participant. I guess you could get welfare.
You can, or you can go to the woods. You can self-sustain.
Right.
In America, the problem is the government. You got
to
get land.
You
have to
right.
buy land.
Exactly.
You got to have the money to get
well,
the land.
You can
right.
just live there. Look,
you
my
could.
My dad, we had land.
You could.
We had mm-hmm. land.
Squatters'
in,
rights
in Mount Lassen.
Right.
Yeah.
And every year at Christmas, but my dad wanted to get a fresh tree.
Mm.
Real tree. Well, you want to get off of his land. That's
yeah.
valuable. So we would cross the...
Nice.
We would go into the forestry land, and we would cut the U.S. government's land. He's like, I pay taxes.
That's right. That's right. Damn straight.
You can do whatever you want. We could have just moved our house over there.
We gotta
have noticed. Would have been years.
We got to have your dad on one
oh,
of
no.
these.
I want to hear that episode.
That would be awesome. Yes.
Your mom, too. I want to
yes.
have your
mom. Oh,
I want to
have your mom on.
We talk about on my podcast, getting your mom on my podcast.
I would say I'd hate watching her flirting with Manny, but he's probably too old for her.
Yeah, I've passed that threshold.
What are you, 30?
Yeah, 33 now.
Ah,
yeah. I'm in my
too old for her.
I'm in my Jesus year. Got to stay
nice,
alive.
That's right. My Jesus year was kidney failure.
Oh, man. Isn't it crazy?
Oh, jeez.
Right. I went into the grave. I went into the grave with kidney failure at 30.
Mm-hmm.
Came out at 33 with a transplant.
Man.
And so my story with that is I feel like I got saved.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like, I say that loosely.
Yeah, yeah.
With air quotes.
Right.
I don't feel like I was saved.
Mm-hmm.
In the church shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I saw this Jesus. I wanted to be like him. I stayed in the church for like 4 or 5 years after my transplant.
Right.
And that, essentially that was me coping with, holy shit, what do I do with this now?
Right.
And the golden handcuffs of six figures. What am I going to do to make money?
Yeah.
I have a fucking theology degree and worked as a pastor.
Yeah. It's like you don't know anything else.
I don't want to go back to selling cars that we talked about earlier. Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't, what am I going to do for money?
Right.
Which sadly, from my experience as I was exiting, almost every pastor I talked to, that was their reason for staying. Even if they saw the shit that was going on.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter what church, what thing they were in. And after I left, I had multiple pastors contact me privately, not publicly on Facebook, private message or text messaging. Mm-hmm. I wish I could do what you're doing.
Wow.
I wish I could do what you're doing. And my answer was, then fucking do it.
Yeah.
Seriously. Well, I got kids. You don't have kids. No, these are all excuses, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, even just take your theology that God's going to take care of you and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you don't believe anymore.
If
you don't believe anymore, isn't that also like, well, crap, I don't believe really. You know?
Yeah.
So no one's going to take care of me.
I think a lot of them still believe, and then I think there are ones that don't believe. I know there are ones that are atheists but are still pastors.
Really?
I know there are. Yes.
Crazy.
Because at the end of the day, what's going on is it's a show.
Right.
When you're preaching a message and you're going on stage, it's just like Silas does with stand-up. It's it's not just like. You're much better. But you're preparing something to give to people that will be helpful to their life, that you believe will be helpful to their life.
Right.
And if the audience happens to be Christian, then you're going to give them it in a Christian funnel.
Right.
Right? And so it's very – so you can keep living the life. You can look at it as a career, and they use the word calling and shit like that.
Yeah.
But it's a career. You can look at it as a career, and you can rock that career.
Well, and like – look,
I'm so cynical.
I mean, I'm not a believer, but I've been to churches and, you know, and fundamentally, a lot of times I'm hearing what they're saying. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, what you're saying is right.
Yeah.
I believe in that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not in that boat. Mm-hmm. We're in different boats, but we're kind of heading the same place.
Yeah.
That's kind of how my wife and I, because her being Christian, are kind of like, that's kind of our philosophy is like, we're both heading to the same island. Mm-hmm. We're just in different boats.
I kind of feel the same way. Like, so don't get me wrong. Like, I don't even know what I would really classify myself as. I'd probably say more Christian now beliefs, but I definitely feel like you can be just a good person and still get to heaven. You know what I mean? I don't feel like, you know, a lot of people think, because here's my thought process. What if there's somebody on a deserted island, never heard about Jesus?
Sure.
You're going to tell me they're not going to heaven because they never
rot in hell.
You know what I mean? Right. So that's, that always seemed like not fair to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or what about the person who's out there maybe doesn't believe in God but is doing the same things Jesus did, helping the homeless and doing all this? You mean to tell me that they have eternal damnation because of, you know, whatever?
Damn right.
So here, I mean, I've said this before, but you guys haven't heard this, is one of the things that blew me up when I left the church, and I don't know if I believe in heaven or hell anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in an afterlife.
Yeah.
But my thought process was this, was it's a big deal for Christians that you say the name of Jesus, that you call God Jesus, that you do all this. And I met friends that I've had on the podcast that talk about the universe how I always talked about Jesus.
Right.
And this beautiful, like, coexisting relationship with the universe. They didn't call it prayer, but they talked to the universe, or they were grateful to the universe, or they thanked the universe.
Right.
Or they had conversations with the universe, all how I did with Jesus.
Right.
Right. So my thing is this God up in heaven, and you get there, right? There's these fucking whatever pearly gates are that you have to go through. And then the Bible says we all have to face the throne of judgment.
Right.
Which is God the Father and Jesus. Maybe it's the Trinity. I always visualized it as like the Trinity sitting on these three thrones.
Right.
God the Father's on this big one. And then there's the little bitch ones that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are on. This is so blasphemous. we'll get to my labels in a minute.
That's right.
But so that was the viewpoint, right? And I come walking up and they're like stoked on me. They're like, Zach, killed it, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, like, you killed it out there.
You talked about Jesus so much. You were so, and we loved watching your life. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm. You had some problems, like, but, you know, and the Bill Burr thing to me is like, this DVD of my life, and I fucked up. You know, Bill Burr's thing is, and you look at God and go, look, you made me.
Right.
Like, I don't get pissed at the car because it broke. I get pissed at the manufacturer or whatever.
So it's like a religious idol.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm made to, like, some, like, Jesus, they're like, you were a little pitchy at times.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Totally. I never thought of it that way. But you get there, and I'm like, yeah.
Horrible person.
Horrible. Yes. Well, then my friend, we'll call it Tina for now. My friend Tina gets there,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, same life, very similar experiences. And they're like, Zach, you know, go to heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, Tina, you killed it too, girl. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
You're a little pitchy at times. Yeah. And then they go, but you kept calling me the universe.
Yeah.
You should have called me Jesus. You're out.
Yeah.
To hell with you forever.
You're not getting the golden ticket.
Yeah. No golden ticket because you called me something that is not what I wanted to be called.
Right. Exactly.
That's just bullshit.
Can I go back and fix that?
Right.
Nope. No, one shot.
Yeah,
all done. Chance.
But
eternal damnation.
But nobody
forever.
Told me. Right. Like, sorry, it's not our fault.
Yeah.
No, like, I mean,
or they did tell you, but who cares?
So the Trinity are Republicans. They're like,
yeah.
You should have picked Republicans, yourself up by bootstraps.
Dude, solid Donald Trump,
right?
Like,
so,
insecurity, and mm-hmm. I just, if there's a God, I don't think that's it.
Yeah. Right? So let me ask you this. Like, I don't know if, you know, people would probably share their political beliefs in church,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, I'm
guessing.
Oh, it's
one and the same.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm guessing, like, majority of them are Republican, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so interesting to watch the Republican Party not do the same things Jesus did. So it's like,
that gets me all the
time.
Dude,
just
bro.
Justifying
it. Nuts.
I'm like, what are you, like, you're not following what he's teaching you at all. Yeah. Like, take care of the homeless, the sick.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I look at Jesus, and Jesus was a solid humanist.
Yeah.
Like, I don't look at Jesus and see him as a deist. Like, he talked about his father and stuff, but, but you look at his life and his, and that's what wrecked me, right? In reading the Bible and getting that and going, even in the Sermon on the Mount, like, I studied the Sermon on the Mount, simply the Sermon on the Mount, for like 3 straight years because there's beauty in it.
Right.
There's also some scary shit in it for the Christians. But I look at that and I go, that's just, ooh. Like, that, you look at the Republican, Jesus was a humanist. So where I'm at politically now is I'm voting for whoever is for the least of these.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, healthcare gets me going because of my kidney problem and all this other shit that I've gone through health-wise. I mean, I've had...
dude, just put 25% from your Lyft drive
into
an HSA account.
There you go.
And that'll totally take care of your next kidney.
Fuck you, dirty son of a bitch.
That Jason Chaffetz shit with the iPhone and the... when he said it.
That was garbage,
that
dude.
That was crazy, man.
That's a guy that is so out of touch with humanity that he should not be in office.
Not at all.
Like, that, get that guy fucking out of there because he has no idea what it's like on the ground.
Exactly.
Right?
To be,
like,
a human being, yeah.
Jesus. Like, get out of your general seat, you dirty son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And get down in the dirty with the soldiers for a little while and find out what it's really like.
Yeah, man.
So, like, healthcare, you trip my buttons with this.
Well, I'm trying to imagine the two Zach. Like, the Zach. So Zach, 12 years ago, he was sitting in that chair watching the way you're talking right now. What would he have thought?
Swearing was the same for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that never – I just held it back in church.
Right.
My senior pastor's wife at one point told me, she goes, our former mentor would have told us that you were going to hell.
Really?
Just because of how I talk. Because I've always been – I mean, the values of my podcast are transparency – now I can't even remember them. I'm drunk on McDonald's and coffee right now, guys. Candidness, transparency, and honesty are the values of my podcast because I want people to be real and genuine. That's my utopia, is a utopia that we are real and genuine. And we don't have these boxes that we have to fit into that cause us to hide and cause us to not be one with one another, all that shit. Well, she told me once, she's like, he would believe you were going to hell.
Wow.
So I would look at myself, I think 12 years ago to now, if this empty chair was me, I can show you a picture of what that guy would look like.
Right.
And he kind of looked like Keith Urban. Wasn't trying to, but long hair, like bleached parts.
Right.
Spent $150 on my hair and a bunch of money on my stuff. And I think it's the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Except this guy was closeting behind stuff to keep his job or to keep people happy. or whatever. And now I'm like, I have nothing to lose.
Right.
I've already lost the money. Mm-hmm. I've already lost a lot of the friends and family.
Right.
Like when I left the church, I remember the day that, I was done.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home to my wife and I looked at her and I said, are you okay if we lose everything?
Right.
And she started crying and she said, well, what about the dogs? Valid question.
Yeah. Now, was she there with you?
She was there with me. She was even on staff for a while, but the church had just finished a $60 million building project.
But I mean, wow. Was she and so, was she in the same spiritual status as you as you were going through this?
If I'm a pastor and she's my wife, she's automatically in the same status as me.
Okay.
She was never into it, though.
Okay, so she wasn't like
she never played
like,
the role. Right. I remember having pastors come to me and go, "Dude, I love your wife."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Why?" Like, because she's not like a pastor's wife.
Yeah.
So was she not believing?
She believed. Yeah, she absolutely believed, but she never got wrapped up in the bullshit.
She was just a real person.
Because every time she did get close to somebody, she saw the bullshit and she saw them trample on her to gain position in the. Right. In the organization or status in the thing. Yeah. She saw all that, and I knew it was going on,
mm-hmm.
but I had reached the top of the ladder.
Man.
And so, and I was the same person. Like, I didn't look at that as, my ego looked at that as I'm at the top of the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm this youth pastor guy traveling, making all this money.
Right.
But at the same time, I was still the same Zach as I am now. I wanted to talk with everybody. I wanted people to have walls down.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have all that. So, and I actually had a pastor write on a Facebook post of mine today that reminded me of that.
Wow.
Like, Zach, you are the same guy.
Yeah.
You are just, you're just in a different.
Yeah.
And for me, that's why I say I feel like I got saved.
Right.
Because I got saved from all the garbage of it.
Yeah. It does feel like some churches are, I don't know, it does feel like it feels like they don't live in the real world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I call it a machine.
Right.
It's just it's an operating machine.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? And that's why I don't think as a theist, if mm-hmm. I'm still a theist, I say church, institutional religion, if you take away the money, it doesn't exist.
Right.
So then that's not faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you take the money away from the church, if you take all of the income, that church ceases to exist. They lose their building. That community goes away.
Right.
Well, then what's it built on?
Mm-hmm.
It's built on money.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, shout out to the churches that are having, like, you know, service right. in the garage. You
totally.
Know? So,
like, I'm a fan of that. Like, somebody asked me, I went to a Christian thing recently,
mm-hmm.
one of the few times I've ever invited, and it was an internship thing, and somebody asked, what would be your view of the church,
mm-hmm.
your hope for the future of the church? And I literally told them, I go, I hope that religion and Christianity in America becomes illegal.
Wow. Yeah.
Because then you'll see if it's real or not.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, you're just going to get the show.
Right.
And you're just going to get the show. I want the government to say religion is illegal.
That is a good point because it's like, are you really that about your faith to where you would,
right.
you know, are you willing to die for
yep.
it? Like, you know, these guys back in the day.
So. And the funny thing is I think there's a lot of people willing to die, but mm-hmm. there's not very many people willing to lose their paycheck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a scary thing to me. Huh. Like, they'll go, oh, I'll go to Islam, or I'll go whatever, and if mm-hmm. they kill me, whatever, because it's like a badge of honor.
Right.
But they won't lose their paycheck.
They want to be a
it.
Martyr, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. I'll die.
But you know, like,
I'll die. I'm glad that was some money in my pocket.
You're right. I mean, you think about, like, let's talk about Scientology. I'm like, that's a whole different, man. You know, like.
I'm just getting into
okay.
that.
Okay. I just can't even acknowledge wild. That as a religion, though.
I mean, that's the
it's
thing.
It's not a religion.
It's, yeah, exactly.
It's a religion.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a religion as much as being a Republican's a religion.
Right.
Wait, but you know wait, I want to find, but your wife, I want to finish your
story. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Sorry.
So your wife said, hey, okay. I want
to. Yeah, so I go, are you okay if we lose everything? She said, you know, what about the dogs? And we hugged and cried. And I said, they cost $30 a month to feed. We can,
yeah,
we'll have the dogs. And the next day I resigned.
Wow.
So it was like, I mean, it was pretty quick. I'm shortening the story a lot. There was a lot of dramatic emphasis in my exit. but
and then how long from that till the podcast?
I resigned in August 2011. I started working at the Comet Tavern in October 2011. We moved to Capitol Hill. I think the podcast was a couple of years after that. And the podcast came out of like my nephrologist, my kidney doctor, he knows my story. He's like, your story is crazy.
Yeah.
He's like, you should write a book.
Do it or a movie.
Yeah. And I'm like,
when you went to the bar, so when your first day at the Comet working, was that humbling?
Not at all. I was excited.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine a kid raised by wolves, and now all of a sudden he's in a world that he's never experienced.
Right.
And part of that is my personality. Like, I enjoy change and transition, and I enjoy, like, if there's any, that's why I say church is what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Like, I've never met you before. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to meet
you. Oh, likewise, yeah.
Right? It's just like, oh, I get to meet a new person. I get to find another human out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I don't know. I get off on it.
Yeah, so, like the connections, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
It was scary as shit. Because mm-hmm. I went from, like, being a pastor 1 month to a couple months later working in a punk rock dive bar run by a gang. And I didn't know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
But I just knew, like, at the time, my mentality was, where would Jesus be?
Right.
How do you get the job? Like, what do they say? You worked in a bar before? No, I was a six-figure pastor. That's my work experience. They're like, will you take minimum wage? I'm like, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
It was
like, what?
It was okay. So there's they had Comet Dog that was outside the Comet Tavern. It's gone now. Mm-hmm. But we loved it. Like, it was so delicious. We got to know Jeff, who was running the Comet hot dog stand at the time. My wife and I would go get hot dogs from all the time. And one time I'm just like, this is the corner of Pike and Tent on Friday and Saturday night is where Jesus would be.
Right.
And I'm like, I want to be that. Like, I looked at, because all of a sudden I looked at Jesus and was like, I've never been like Jesus.
First off, he would have been in the black neighborhood.
Yeah. You're right.
You'd have been on Martin Luther King Way. There's a club there, right? I don't know. They don't invite me. But.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
Jesus is not exclusive, man.
He'd have been at the parlor.
There you go.
Paying a lot for a Corona.
There you go.
He'd have been at the underground. Yeah.
That's my God. So I, you know, it's like I just fell in love with the neighbor. I grew up in Capitol Hill, and then I, you know, moved away after high school and stuff. Moved back. Was always in love with the neighborhood. But now was in it. And we go one night, we're eating a hot dog, and I look at Jeff, and I'm like, and Jeff knew my story, because I used to tell people I've left church and I left Christianity to actually try to follow Jesus.
Right.
And if I look at my life now, this is, you know, years ago, 5 years ago, wherever 2011 was, 6 years ago, I was like, I want to be a missionary to people, which means the idea of Christian terminology of missionary is leaving everything that's comfortable and living with other people. It's not even about converting them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about moving in. You know, there's this passage in this paraphrased Bible that it was like Jesus left the comforts of heaven and moved into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful narrative to me because you leave what's comfortable to you. It's the narrative of getting to know humanity.
Right.
Right? Like, and that's the one beautiful thing about Christianity, air quotes, if you will, to me, is that God, it's the only religion where God left heaven and got into the shit.
Yeah.
It's the only religion that does that.
Yeah.
So that's what was beautiful about, and that's what's beautiful to me about Jesus. But
doesn't Buddha do that?
I don't know. I thought Buddha was just a dude.
Yeah, I thought he was just sitting in the middle of nowhere and reached enlightenment.
He was already in the shit.
Oh, yeah, he was already living in the shit. Oh, is that the Dalai Lama?
Dalai Lama
reincarnates.
I like the Dalai Lama.
Dalai Lama is amazing, man. Oh, yeah. And the sad thing is, I think China's messed it up where this will be the last Dalai Lama.
Yeah, I saw that.
Huh.
I saw that John Oliver, too.
Talk about just somebody who's so, like, full of love and, you know, like, just,
And that's what I'm about now. Like,
yeah.
Do that.
Exactly.
Like, the fucking Pope right now.
Right.
That dude's legit.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I like him.
Yeah, yeah. He wakes up and he's like, I'm going to fuck some shit up.
Yeah, seriously.
Right.
But, I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing. You know, like, I've always felt this way. Like, you know, there's a lot of Christians that'll say, oh, well, you're gay, so you're automatically, you know, eternal damnation, whatever. But it's like, if God created each and every one of us, like, I've never made the choice to be straight.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, I never woke up and was like, you know, I should be straight today.
This one thing gave me a boner and the other one didn't.
Exactly, right?
Every podcast, I have to choose to be straight.
Yeah.
Look at Manny's those brown eyes.
Yeah.
Whatever color.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Like
they're
red.
They're little bloodshot. Yeah.
You guys are face fucking, right?
Yeah, we
are. Staring at each other.
It's a bromance podcast. So we'll probably be gay by 2020.
Yeah. What were you saying?
Oh, yeah. So I was just saying, you know, I just feel like, oh, God, I lost it. But it just along the lines of, like, I feel like if God created us, he doesn't make any mistakes. You know what I mean? Like,
see, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me a heretic in the Christian world, because it's a universalist view.
Mm-hmm.
It's too inclusive.
Right.
Like, I love, if there's a God, he created everything, gay, straight, black, white, right. whatever, mm-hmm. which is actually more of a Middle Eastern Jew view.
Yeah, yeah.
Jew view. That sounds horrible. Sorry, guys.
That sounds like a podcast, actually.
Jew view.
Jew view. Today on ABC.
But that's also what was beautiful.
Simon Stein.
Like Christianity became this compartmentalized Western worldview when it came through Greece and Rome,
mm-hmm.
right? Judaism essentially takes this holistic approach,
right?
And whereas, like, your life, every creation is all God's. That's why Jews, they can worship money because they feel like, that's so stupid of me to say that. Black and a half! But many are well, because they view everything as worship.
Right.
Everything is worship, like everything. Mm-hmm. And not just going to church, like cultivating the ground is worship. My job is worship. All of this is this beautiful thing all that's intertwined. So interweaved. Mm-hmm. The pain of life and the good of life and everything. Everything is one.
Right.
So the Jewish view of Jesus, mm-hmm. a messianic view of Jesus, is actually a beautiful narrative, but a Christianity view of Jesus is bullshit.
Right.
Because it separates soul from spirit, good from bad, and mm-hmm. a Jewish view is you're all fucked up and mm-hmm. you're beautiful at the same time, and that's what God saved.
Wow, I love that.
Like, all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I feel like you
Christian
just said the Facts of Life
fucked.
Theme song.
Yeah.
Take the good, you take the bad, you take the ball in there. Yeah.
The Facts of
yes.
Life.
Yes. Thank God for you,
Silas. I was like,
this
sounds familiar. It's Facts of Life.
It is Facts of Life. It's all narrative, bro.
Exactly.
That's
I'll
what
say,
I'm at.
We need to find out who wrote that because they were probably Jewish.
Yeah.
Well, it's Hollywood, so
yeah. We were on some before that. I don't remember what it was, but I liked it. Felt good.
As far as the not choosing or God not.
Oh, whatever.
Okay, yeah. No. But I was saying,
go to your thing.
What I think I've. Well, what you're saying about, like, the coming to meet Manny, and that was exciting
yeah.
and everything. Like, for me, what I think the takeaway I've had with my relationship with my wife is, and her being Christian, is the concept of community.
Mm-hmm.
That she yeah. talks about community. And I think there's a lot of people that get caught up in, or that's what they actually want is
yeah.
community, regardless of the religion.
Yes.
I mean, they end up being their belief,
yes.
but like, because I've noticed that like the Seattle comedy has a community,
mm-hmm. right?
The theater arts have a community, the music, everyone has a community, and they want to be active and have a voice
yes.
in that, and just share. I mean, they want to break bread with their community,
yep.
you know?
In the sense of belonging,
right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. Even comedy has, you know, they have mm-hmm. their barbecues that mm-hmm. they're trying to do during the summer, and it's like, oh, you guys just want to have a sense of community,
right?
You know, like, so you're all kind of religious, and you don't know it,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yes.
I mean,
the crazy thing is, though, is like I've started to see it, especially with like I love my in-laws, but they
yeah.
kind of get wrapped in because they're huge churchgoers, mm-hmm. right? But when you're only around people like yourself,
yeah.
you get stuck in that mentality where you forget about the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So
we do it on Facebook, too.
We really do.
Mm-hmm. We do it with everything. And that's, like, Silas, I love that you brought that up because that's one of the number one things. If religious folks or Christian people listen to my podcast and they know my narrative or my story, that's the thing they always hit on.
Right.
Like, I agree with everything you're saying. I feel the tension. You're talking about things that we're not allowed to talk about that I've wondered for years.
Mm-hmm.
But if I leave, I lose that community.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, and part of my transition has been personality.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that. My like excitement of meeting other people. And I've always been this guy. Like, even when I was in the church,
mm-hmm.
like, yes, I came from this mega church, prosperity gospel, Pentecostal thing.
Right.
But in my city, I was cool with the Baptist youth pastor. And
mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk with everybody. And that's
right.
always been me. And that's my utopian view of humanity, because the more I get outside of that bubble, everything that I thought about that bubble breaks down,
mm-hmm.
and I see the unifying factors.
Dude, that's so cool.
Right? And that's where you're talking about, like, this view of God is this kind of universalist view.
Mm-hmm.
If we would do that, if we would if we would have a meal,
mm-hmm.
like, on a regular basis with somebody that's completely different from
Dude,
us, it
right.
changes everything.
Exactly.
Like, I've watched so many Christians, all of a sudden they have a gay friend, and
mm-hmm.
now they're, like, pro-gay.
Yeah.
Right? And it's because...
they're even going down on dudes. Yeah. They're like, no, I gotta make up for some shit.
Yeah.
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 So,
and that's and even that's limiting to me, because
right.
I think, just be pro-human.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
let's be pro-human.
Exactly.
Let's do that. But the fact of the matter is, as soon as you know someone that's in it,
mm-hmm.
you can't demify it, right?
Right?
You can't make it evil because well, they're just like me.
Right.
And except that gives them a boner and this doesn't.
Right. Like, yeah, totally. And, you know, it's so funny. A Republican coworker that I have, he's kind of high up there.
Yeah.
Everybody's afraid of him, but I'm the only person who talks shit to him in the office, right? You know what I mean? Because I'm not afraid of him, you know? Yeah. But he told me, he was like, you know, I was against, you know, gay people until during my daughter's basketball league.
Mm-hmm.
I met these two lesbians, and they were amazing. Yeah. And I was like, wow, they're just like me, you know? Yep. They just want to be loved.
Part of me wants to say, oh, exactly. That means you're a shitty human being.
Yeah.
Because you don't care until it actually affects you.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is the truth.
That doesn't make you enlightened. That just means you're shit.
I know. I got to stop, like, shitting on Republicans. I love you guys out there, but okay.
I love two.
Okay, there you go, right? So here's the thing. Ronald Reagan
didn't
give a shit about AIDS until, who was it? Was it Rock Hudson?
His wife's mistress.
Yeah.
To the guy he was fucking.
Right, exactly, yeah. Right? So there was that. And then with Cheney, his daughter, was... Mm. Lesbian, right?
Yeah, that was the only gay issue he was like, okay with.
Exactly. So it really is until it happens to you, until it affects your bubble.
Yep.
You're not, you know.
And so that's my gig.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be infected by everybody else's bubble.
You're right.
Like, my phrase is, like, I spent the first half of my life only talking and listening to Christians, and I want to spend the last half of my life talking and listening to everybody else.
Exactly.
Like, that's just what I want.
Yeah.
So it's led to this thing where I'm kind of pushing against Christians, which is and I need to get over that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I need therapy.
Okay. So here's where I'm struggling.
Yeah.
So I'm in moved into real estate.
Yeah.
And so I've joined this this community called Onion Juice.
Yeah.
Which it's a group that kind of believes in doing real estate a little different. We're a media company who happens to sell real estate.
Cool.
Each of us. And so you do the stuff you love, and that was an impetus to bring the show back. Was like, I want to keep doing the stuff I love.
Right.
And then, you know, you gain engagements and followers and friends, and they end up using you.
Yeah.
But recently in it I saw the guy whose podcast it is.
Yeah.
And he's made some comments that I'm like, I knew he went to church. He mentioned church, and then, like, he doesn't work Sundays. It's his family day. But he said a couple things, like, to somebody about he was talking about a friend that he had lost contact. He would have lost contact with because they were in the same church. He got his mailing address, sent a newsletter to. But then they were both called to a different church, and then I was like, "So what's that? What's that?"
Yeah.
She's like, "Yeah, that's a religious term. It just means you."
Yeah,
it means you're ready to say fuck to somebody and embrace somebody else.
That's what it means. So
fuck these guys. I'm going over here.
And then
that's what it means.
There were a couple of comments that they made to other people about, like, someone said, "Oh, I'm so glad that God brought me to you," and he's like, "Oh, I'm glad God brought us together," and I was like, "Oh, so he's like just religious," and I was like, "Oh, is this? Oh shit, is this all just a religious? I mean, I don't think it's a religious thing, but it's like, here's the thing: I find religious people end up being very successful sometimes, because they think that God's gonna look out for them, so they'll just do some balls to the wall shit, thinking like, oh, well, it's gonna work out, and it takes that kind of guts.
It really does
to make it in business. Yeah. Sometimes it's just be like, no, I'm gonna get taken care of. I mean, I have that bit of faith.
That's true.
Sometimes because I have, you know, I've been down to
your last.
I've been down
$19.
To, you know, I had a $500 rent at one point. You know, I was divorced, living with my daughter, and a $500 rent, and I was like, like $100,
right?
Rent's due in a week. How is this gonna happen?
Yeah,
it's before Lyft.
Right,
Lyft would have saved my butt all the time.
Right,
but then something would happen. I'd get a gig, and I get the money in time, it'd be all good. And I'd be like,
it always works out.
But I have this happen to me over the course of 10 years, and I was like, I'll figure something out.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's the extra money. It's the same. It's just different terminology.
Use religion, and
I'm going to throw a wrench in what your enlightenment though about that belief thing. Here's the other thing: Christians have, or religious people have, they have instant access to a community that will trust them to buy things from them.
Right.
Right.
I'm joining a church.
Yes.
So
selling so many more houses.
when I had kidney failure, they always attach a social worker to you to help you cope and talk with it. And my social worker told me this. She goes, "Zach, you will have no problem finding a kidney."
Right.
And I go, "Why?" She goes, "Because you're a part of a church and you're a part of a big one."
Yeah.
Just ask the pastor if they will announce it from stage one Sunday. we will set up a hotline for you because we know you will get so many calls of people ready to give you a kidney.
Wow. Shit. That's...
It's the power of the community.
Yeah.
Right? Man. And I left that and told it to fuck off.
Yeah.
And
wait, before you got the kidney? Or after
you
got the
kidney? No, well, after.
Wow.
But I never, I went to my pastor, we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, we'll do that if you want. And I go, I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Like, people that know me will know me. And so how it happened for me was I had five friends go through. They gave me a little card. You give a card to people that say they want to donate their kidney to you.
Right.
Five of those people followed through and went through the testing and the stuff for it. All five of them, which is rare, apparently, mm-hmm. all five of them were a DNA match.
Wow.
Three out of five of them were close enough DNA to be my own brother, and we were of no relation.
Wow. Really?
And one of those was my friend Seth, who told me 2 years before, mm-hmm. God told me to give you my kidney.
Wow.
And
so wait, this is before he had any health problems?
Yeah. No, it was right. Well, he had called me. Remember, he called me like the week I got diagnosed. And I was
Okay.
He was one of the ones.
What happened to your other kidney?
They were both equally bad.
Oh.
So they took them both out. So for me, what happened, it was a birth defect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the football thing was just...
No, the football thing was just what found the problem.
Wow.
That there
so
was
really,
a problem.
That was like
yeah,
good.
It was, like
it was good.
A godsend. Yeah,
it
yeah.
was good.
Okay.
And the kidney failure was good.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, we would not be talking right now because I would still be in the Christian machine
yeah.
had I not had this life experience.
Man. Right?
Like, are you that optimistic yeah. sometimes when you're driving like Lyft on a
okay.
in the rain and
here's
going,
my
like,
thing.
Nope, I didn't want the money. I didn't want the
no.
money. Because sometimes I'm sitting there going like, just become a programmer. Just
yeah, yeah. Just dude, I'd have the same thoughts. You know how many fucking Amazon people we drive around making so much money. But they hate their life.
Oh,
yeah,
they do.
That's true. They all I've never talked to one that's happy with what they're doing. You know, they might be happy on their team, but the hours they're working. No. And I've been in that. Like, I did it. I don't want that anymore. But,
yeah.
yes, it's a temptation on a regular basis
Man.
To just get a regular paycheck. And
well, not even a temptation. Like, I just think about, what's wrong with me? Why can't I sit in a cubicle and be a drone?
I know.
I wish I could.
You know, I almost feel like it's we've all kind of been unplugged from the Matrix to a certain extent.
Yeah.
It's like we know that there's something more out there yep. than just the – you know what I mean? Especially you being an actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being a pastor. It's – You know,
used to be a pastor.
You know what I mean? Like, you step outside of these things, and it's like, oh shit, there's a whole another yeah. world out there.
Yes,
and it's like, I don't want to sell my soul to do these things. I mean, I'll sit in a cubicle, but I'm still telling jokes at night.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it's wild to me.
My friend Taylor, who started a podcast called About to Break, he
mm-hmm.
lives in L.A. He's a professional comedian and illusionist. And he uses the term. He's actually supremely talented. But his podcast is about to break, and it's about that conversation of – and he calls it a curse. Like, the people that are on his show, like, they call it a curse. Like, mm-hmm. I can't sit in a cubicle.
Oh,
right.
I wish I could.
Yeah.
This is a curse. This creative or artist curse or whatever.
I've sat in my
house
and cried.
Yeah.
Because I wish I could not do this.
Man.
I wish I – like, I don't know – I don't know if I've gone three consecutive days, like, just happy that I've chosen this. I'm like, why? I just wish I could and just come home and play Zelda.
Right.
You know, oh, yeah, the next big thing's coming out.
Right.
Get that.
Yeah.
Oh, movie's
That's
on
it.
For Friday. Movie,
That's
you know, dude, let me live that life. And
right.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, when I try. Like, and
you
I
just
love
don't
want to
be a slave to anything,
I love my
though.
Children. I love them so much.
Yeah.
But I just want to get away from them a lot. Like, I want to get, like, I want to go do something. Like, I can't do this every day.
We have the same curse.
Ever.
We have the same curse.
Like, oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't know. Then I'm in a weird spot. Then I go to these. So I did a show last night in Auburn, a family-friendly place, you know, and then I'm in the back with people, and you are just not family-friendly people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, comedians aren't always like that, and and I'm like, you know, and I'm alone.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I knew
it's
one
of
the guys to kind
of
hang out, like, but, you know, and actually some guy I met from, you remember me from the Sacramento Comedy Festival?
Really?
I forgot, like, we're friends on Facebook, I couldn't remember how, that was that we were both in that festival together.
Nice.
I was like, oh, this is cool, so we caught up a little bit. I mean, you don't need to, because on Facebook, they all see what you've been doing.
Right.
But...
That's why reunions are stupid.
But
they're awful now. Yeah,
but
exactly.
They're like, they went off to go to Capitol Hill,
mm-hmm.
maybe get on another show, or maybe to just hang out at a club. And I'm like, well, I got
Yeah.
My daughter's going to be up a couple, a little bit, and she was up a lot last night. But I'm like, I know that's going to come. So I'm like, I just got to take the 40-minute drive home and some alone listening to a podcast. Right. There's a lot of alone time doing this.
There is.
Yeah.
And then I get home, and I lose my NXT titles. Mm-hmm. I play wrestling to wind down. But then, when I was there, it was just crazy, though. Somebody, one of the comics went in back, and some girl and her boyfriend were out there, and they wanted to smoke with him. They had seen him on the show, and they went out for smoke break, so smoking. And then he goes back inside, and then she, like, tries to get in on this guy.
Oh.
He's talking, and he, like, they gave him a, like, hey, you want to?
Oh, like swingers. Like,
well, I don't think they were swingers. I think she was just high and wanted to hang out. And he's like, I don't know. But then, like, I don't know if they were, I don't know if they were doing pot or whatever, but then, like, she's like, hey, gave him, like, a pill.
Ooh.
Said, like, I got some Adderall. Gave it to him. And then she comes inside, and he's like, yeah, she gave me an Adderall. And another comic's like, well, you want it? He's like, not really. I'll take it. Nice. He takes it, and he's like, looks at it and goes, that's not. He's like, this Adderall? What is Adderall? And I'm like, it had an M on it.
Yeah.
And we're like, M. And so here's a great thing now.
Man. You can Google. It.
Yeah.
We just Googled. Yeah. I Googled Adderall, and I'm showing. I'm like, dude, that's not Adderall. Like, that's nothing close. And so we typed in white pill with an M. It was Oxycontin.
No way.
He's like, this is dangerous.
Yeah,
he's a comic, and he's like, no, he went and destroyed it. He put water on it and dissolved it. He's like, you can't do that. He's like, this is like heroin.
That's
crazy. But I'm like, was she so high that she didn't know what she did?
Maybe.
Like, but I'm like, think about how dangerous that is for these. Like, the comic said, oh, it's just an Adderall. And this guy does Adderall sometimes. Like, oh, he wouldn't mind.
That's why you need to stay in church, because you get outside the church and there's demons everywhere.
But I was
trying
just like,
to drug you.
But another comic who's like, he's not drug, he's drug friendly. He's no, that shit will kill you.
Yeah.
He's like,
it's
dangerous.
Yeah. Kid you not, even like some of the guys I went to high school with that were like great baseball players. They got hooked on painkillers, and now they're like heroin addicts.
Yep.
So
it's crazy.
It's a real deal, man.
But I'm like, and I'm like, this is who I'm surrounding myself with too. Like, I mean, they actually did all the right thing. It was pretty cool, but which I was kind of surprised with. That it was like, oh, these guys got a compass here that just popping anything.
Yeah,
but
it's the world, man.
But a lot of people would. There's some people
totally
that
would just popped it. I know,
whatever. But I was like,
and there's people who would have paid crazy amounts of money for that too. So
yeah.
But
well, then you're a drug dealer.
Yeah, exactly. But speaking of money, something that we wanted to bring up, the $100 bill appears to have Jabba the Hutt on it. Does it not?
Dude,
what?
Have you seen this?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't have a hundo on me, guys. Hold on, I got some tips yesterday driving for Lyft. Lyft and Uber. I have a dollar.
Out in Bellevue.
This is the real money. This is what money sounds like. So that's $1.
Did you hear money?
$1.
I did, yeah. You're like
a dollar.
You're sitting there like flashing it. You put it in your Star Wars coat.
Hey, while you're finding it, speaking of drugs, there was an article in like the Seattle Times last summer that they caught salmon in Puget Sound.
Oh, right.
And they tested them for what was in them.
Mm-hmm.
And there were trace amounts. This is kind of scary and really hilarious if you're from Seattle at the same time. Traces of antidepressants and cocaine.
Are you shitting me?
In the salmon, because it's in the water.
Wow.
So at first you're like, oh, shit. And then I'm like, that's Seattle! Antidepressants and cocaine.
Damn, that's crazy.
In the salmon?
In the salmon.
Is
because
it
it's so much in the humans.
So are
that we
peeing
it
out, and then it's filtered.
It's filtered into the water.
Get the
And the salmon.
No one. Like, trace why am I
out?
So happy?
Yeah,
after
exactly.
I
after
have
I eat salmon.
Mm.
Damn.
Well, it's in everything. It's
so
in
the
our
only
groundwater.
Reason I have a $100 bill.
Okay.
Is, so Manny's
don't
like,
give excuses for why you're rich.
Yeah, exactly. Why you're balling out of control.
You're rich because Manny's you're only
the switch.
You're rich because you're only half black.
I sold it to. I panicked about these switches that I had.
Yeah.
Because people were not buying them.
Okay.
Because. The demand's not there.
What are these switches? What are you talking about?
The Nintendo Switch.
Oh, that. Yeah. Nintendo
so,
Switch.
Like,
yeah.
They're not. Yeah, they're not. The demand's not there.
Right.
And I'm like, and they have a new shipment coming in like in a couple weeks. Like, all these are going to have no value.
Like,
and so I'm like, I just want to get rid of it. And
yeah.
So he wanted one. But
so you bought one for $100.
So anyway.
Man, all right, I wish.
But okay, look. So the woman told me to look because I sold one at. Here's my tip to everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I go whenever I sell something on Craigslist, I meet them at a bank.
Yeah, that's I meet him at the police station across the street from my house.
Well, that's smart. Yeah. Well, because I want them to I hand them the money to check.
Nice.
I do have a counterfeit dollar detector. Yeah, but I do that. And so I was like, I don't carry. I don't have a hundred. When would I ever get a hundred?
Remind me to tell you about my counterfeit story after this.
But I do that also because my brother years ago sold a phone. Like it was the iPhone 3 or 4, yeah. But it was like brand new.
Yeah.
And he sold it online, and this guy met him, and Russian dude.
Yeah.
And turned out he got the money, and then he went later on and looks at it. He's like, it's like, oh, shit.
This is fake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fake. It was counterfeit money.
Oh, man.
And so he's like, that was because it was like $400.
Wow.
And so he started scouring Craigslist,
mm-hmm.
and he saw it.
Wow.
He got his friend to call.
Yes.
Nice. Got to meet somewhere.
Nice.
And they checked, like, this is a stink. So my brother was waiting off on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And when the guy got there and they met him, the guy was like, they're looking at the cell phone. He's looking at the cell phone. He's the number. He's like, yep. And then my brother walks around and says, we're taking the phone back.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the police are on their way. He's like, so the guy got up and left. And I was like, holy shit.
Nice.
He just messed with counterfeit Russian deals.
Yes. Dude, that shit is
like,
scary.
Yeah, like, dude, stuff could have gone wrong.
Yeah, I would have just let it go. I'd have been like, you know what? Right. Yeah, that's a lost phone.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm like, but I couldn't believe that he got online and found it. That's, and so ever since then, I'm like, well, I can. He got made fun of a lot by his friends because he worked at Albertsons.
Yeah.
And they're trained on looking at counterfeit bills.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're like, how did you not spot? He's like, he hadn't worked there in 2 years, and he just wasn't on his point. And his wife was a manager at Albertsons. So she was like,
you idiot.
You and so I was at the bank.
Okay.
And I got this $100 from these other people.
Holding it up to
and
the light.
She's like, oh, there's this little face. And I was like, that's Jabba the Hutt.
What?
That's what I think it looks like.
So Ben Franklin's.
Over here?
Yeah.
He has like a double chin.
I mean, it's
weird.
It's supposed to be Ben Franklin again.
It's like he had a stroke.
It does
it's like
look like
Ben Franklin had a stroke in half of his face.
Right,
like
it's like
JR in WWE, right?
That
like,
is so weird.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Monday Night Raw.
I don't see Jabba,
you don't see Jabba?
I see Franklin with a stroke. That is fantastic.
Yeah,
you
should have
done that at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Who's this? Is this Jabba the Hutt or Ben Franklin with a stroke?
Depends on what community you're in.
Right. So being a teller.
Go community.
Ahead. Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about community.
Oh, that's right. We were.
But Emerald City Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That's community.
Community. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Holy shit. Like, there is a...
Nerds
there
do
are,
it right.
There are
right.
rules there.
Yeah.
There are rules on behaviors.
I got my Deadpool.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Is that a Green Lantern tattoo you have?
No. I got this when I was still Christian-ish.
Right.
But it was my first tattoo.
What is it?
It's just a hand holding a lantern.
But you realize it's a green lantern.
But it is greenish because I told her I wanted it to look like an old tattoo.
That's cool.
Does like that not look
style.
Like a green lantern?
It does. It looks like a little bit. Well, actually, they have the thing in the middle, right? Where it's like...
Yeah,
but it's green
something
in the
like that.
You know what? I feel
but
like
it's beautifully done.
I feel
right?
like
is,
if
yeah,
you
yeah.
wore she that, if you were at Emerald City Comic Con and someone saw that, they'd be like, awesome
Green Lantern.
How is it like by this light or something? How's
yeah,
it going?
Seriously.
Do you know the
Darkest
thing?
Day.
Yes,
something.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. So.
The worst comic movie ever made.
Oh, God. Yeah, just disappoints
me. On that movie too
I don't mind it. It's just, I never knew the Green Lantern story.
Yeah, I wish they just would have done the...
They're way worse.
They should have done the Yellow Lanterns versus the Green Lanterns.
Yeah. Anything DC, I feel, is lame.
Yeah, they've been messing it up, man. Yeah. And we're DC fans, so that's crappy
sorry, guys.
Thing. Marvel's killing it right
about,
now.
Oh, yeah, not on TV, though. Marvel, or Marvel's good on TV, but
DC TV
kills it on
Yeah,
TV.
The Flash, as
Flash
I heard,
is really
awesome,
good, yeah.
and it's killing
Flash,
it.
Apparently,
and they're animated.
Incredible.
They're animated.
My wife likes Arrow,
really
yeah. I don't watch enough TV.
Like, okay, I don't know why people shit on the Green Lantern movie, honestly, so much. I watched it, I was like, oh, it's fun. People are like, it's too cheesy. I'm like,
it's a comic book.
His weakness is the color yellow.
Yeah.
Like, that's what every fights
yeah.
with. He can make a green,
you
like.
You could pee on him, and he wouldn't be able to do anything.
That's right. Like,
as long as you weren't well hydrated.
His arch nemesis is
Trump.
Is Trump's
prostitutes peeing on him.
Like, he can make a car, a moving car, that as long as it's green from his ring. This is a cheesy ass comic
That's
book.
True.
Yeah. So I don't know why they shit on the movie being like over the top great. Right. Yeah, it's not a Marvel.
It's because, like me, they never read the comic book. They just saw the movie.
Ugh,
That's the issue.
Marvel's just...
That always makes, you know what? Nerds and other people, they make me feel bad about things I like.
Right?
Because I'm like, well, I liked it.
Yeah, seriously. They're like, you like that shit? I'm like, well, am I the only person who liked it?
I liked it because I have a man crush on Ryan Reynolds.
Right? Who doesn't love that
guy? So I feel like
guy?
He could be in any role.
Dude.
And I enjoy it.
He's
a good dude.
Is that why Deadpool? Or what? Who is your nerd?
So I, what's funny is I'm like, I'm going through my t-shirt thing because I'm a Loot Crate subscribe, so I have all these fucking t-shirts.
Nice.
And this is not from Loot Crate, surprisingly. I found this at Ross.
Oh, dude.
But I was like, dude, Deadpool's the shit. So I like him, and this, you know, gets back into me, right? Because he breaks all the boundaries.
Exactly.
Right? He's like the anti-hero. He talks to the audience through the comic book. Like, he does all the stuff you're not supposed to do as a comic book guy.
Mm-hmm.
So... I've read one. I read the first Deadpool comic.
Wait, is it?
I'm not a diehard fan.
So the movie is what you?
I saw the movie. It's what introduced me to Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
And then I read the first comic, and I bought a whole shit ton of them on my iPad, but I haven't read them all.
We walked past the creator of the Deadpool.
The creator of Deadpool.
Really? I'm really, and part of my thing, like I'm halfway through reading V for Vendetta, and I love it. Like, the graphic novel is so much better than the movie because it gets into so much more detail. But I suck at reading. And part of it is a learning disability. Like, for me to read, like, reading the Bible, me doing that 2 years, I've now done it 8 times. I haven't read any Christian literature since January 1st, 2016. Or since December 31st, 2016.
It's like a sobriety day. Right.
Well, I did. I went like, I'm fasting the Bible and Christian literature. And I just haven't gone back to it. Like, I did it on purpose.
You're right.
But, yeah. So, what was I talking about?
I don't know. Reading.
So, like, I was diagnosed with a learning disability when I was in high school. Because I went to prep school and everybody was wondering why my grades sucked so bad.
Right.
And they failed to realize the amount of pot I was doing. But... But when I got tested, they labeled me a global learner.
Oh, okay.
And so essentially, I learned backwards.
Oh, wow.
So school teaches like 1776, 1777, and you start me at the whole universe,
right?
And then start narrowing it down.
And that's considered a disability.
It's a learning disability.
There's like five. There's a ton of different ways to learn,
right?
And I mean, like, so for me, when I'm reading, this is the problem I have. I'll read something, but I was thinking about something else.
Yes,
so I need
too.
To go back and have to read again.
I have the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But what crushes, when my reading comprehension crushes, is when I listen to the audio while I'm reading.
Oh, there you go.
So Audible's changed my... Like, I read books now because of Audible.
Right.
Audible.com or go to loserbooks.com and you can get a free download.
Nice.
I have a reading disability. It's called Netflix. I bought a Kindle Fire so that I could I'll read more.
Yeah.
I don't want to, in case I want to do that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll pop open the thing to I download this to read. Yes. And I'm like, there's something new on Netflix. I'll just watch a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I'll watch a little bit of that and I'll read later.
Dude, there's so many things that are like
right.
able to distract us now. It's like, how do we get anything done? It's like,
look at that book. That looks so good.
And I am not a multitasker.
Oh, neither am I.
Like, you guys have both looked at your phones a couple times while we've been talking. I can't.
I
can't. I'm like, meh, it's horrible.
Silas yells at me a lot.
Yeah. But a lot of people
can. You know what? Someone who never calls me called.
When
we started and left a voicemail.
Oh, so now you're really wondering what it is.
Yeah, and
let's listen
to
it right now. Let's put it on
speaker. It's probably have a disease that has been. Oh, you're like, oh shit.
No, I'm afraid it might be. There might be. I'm hoping it's not a problem with somebody else.
Oh,
in
our
community.
Okay.
I'm like,
this in the comedy world.
Yeah.
Ooh. Gotcha.
So I'm like, okay.
Oh, there was a fight that broke out at a club, which was
scary. Let's not.
We're not going to talk about it.
Nope.
But I think it was awesome. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
We'll talk about it later. We'll wait till it gets disclosed.
We don't need to get into
it. You guys can share that on my podcast. Lawyers. Candidness,
we don't need
transparency,
lawyers.
And honesty.
Exactly.
Lawyers and shit get on us because we talk about it before it's in court. But actually, you know what? Art, we're a little over time here.
There was a time?
Yeah, man, that sucks.
We limit.
It was amazing.
I
know. Too.
But then we can do like a part two or something, man.
Well, eventually we'll, be busy enough that we're doing you know, this will be our job.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll be like, we'll do 2 weeks.
We're actually trying now. He's always been trying. I finally have stopped being lazy and trying to.
He's slowly working you out of the corporate.
Exactly. I just need to talk to his wife and get a, you know, get his, get her schedule.
He's passing the curse on you.
Right. He's like, look, bitch, you need to get him in.
The welcome to the curse.
It's amazing.
Never, you will never be satisfied
she would,
again.
She would beat the hell out of me.
She's like, Silas, I like living in this. We'll get there, though.
I love, Silas, I do not want to leave this 500 square foot apartment. You're not taking this away from me, motherfucker.
Exactly.
My well, Netflix. Thank you, guys. This is like, I loved this.
Losingyourreligion.com?
Yeah, losingourreligion.com mm-hmm. cost thousands of dollars.
Oh, mm-hmm. So.
So losingourreligionpodcast.com.
Okay.
Or losingourreligionorg.org. Okay. Even though I'm not an org. It was a lot cheaper than losingourreligion.com.
Nobody cares if you're an org.
Yeah, and any contact information of getting a hold of me is on there. I'm pretty much an open book.
Definitely. We'll put the link on the bottom of our website.
So. It's I love chatting with people, and that was not a fart.
I know, I was like, vibrating.
It was my wrist.
That was an awkward.
My wrist. My, can I take some pills? My smartwatch. No, it's
probably a text.
It's like fucking Lyft telling me to get my ass out there.
Oh, there you go.
That's what it is.
It's raining.
Yeah.
It's raining. Lots of money to
be
made.
Lots of money. Get your ass out here.
Come on.
Like, it's my only corporate anchor. I thought I turned their notifications off. That sounded like a fart, though, right?
It really did. I was like, whoa. And I was like, hey, way to go, Zach.
You brought McDonald's in here and he farted. This office will never be the same.
Oh, man. All
right.
Cool. So make sure you follow him. And we'll put the link on the page.
Yeah. Can I pimp a show? When is this going to air?
In a few weeks.
Okay.
What do you got?
April 1st, we have our first live podcast Seattle show.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
At the Pocket Theater.
Nice.
You can get details on the website.
Cool.
Okay.
So Daniel O'Connor. I always know him as Baby Dan.
Daniel O'Connor.
Daniel O'Connor is going to be on the show. O'Connell. Daniel O'Connell is going to be on the show. He's going to do stand-up. A guy named Greg Benick, so Daniel was raised Christian. Greg Benick is an atheist, straight edge vegan, heavy metal dude.
Okay.
My friend Taylor, who's a comedian, illusionist, and I. So it's Taylor's the Christian, Daniel's the used to be a Christian, I'm the who knows what the fuck I am, and the atheist. We're all going to have a show, and we're going to have a little conversation after it.
Cool.
Let's all get drunk and party.
Heck
April
1st.
It's fun.
April 1st.
Get tickets. I think they're going to be $15. I think.
Awesome.
We'll see. It's a small theater.
Get them before they sell out.
Yes. Do it.
All right. Black and a half.
Black and a half.
And a half a bean.
Frijoles.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Live long and prosper.